3707.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up on this show, sad note about an IRL driver that I had a chance to interview once briefly, Dan Weldon, dead at the age of 33, killed in a crash just 11 minutes into the thing. I think it was like lap 11 at the very beginning of the race. And it was strange. We'll describe it and tell you more about that accident and how the race ended. No winner there. Instead, they do a tribute to him and do several laps around the Las Vegas Speedway. That's where this happened. What happened in baseball? We finally have two, the Cardinals and the Rangers. So we'll get to that as well. Both are headed to the World Series. How about it? And then on to the business of politics. Oh, we love to dig in here. Sunday swirl time means there's lots of quotables because it's the day of the talking heads. Everybody goes on the shows from the cable networks to the straight-up networks, ABC and NBC and CBS. And there were definitely some things to quote. Herman Cain was on defending 999 and the confusion over 999. And then you had guys like Newt Gingrich who were on talking about Iran and what are we doing in the situation with Iran. Of course, that dovetails off of the story that broke a week and a half ago about the Saudi ambassador in the middle of a plot to be assassinated in the United States. The Saudi ambassador, of course, to the United States, and the repercussions of that when Robert Mueller, the FBI director, talked about how convoluted the story was and how the Mexican cartel was involved. And there are a lot of people who are saying this is just a smokescreen and it's not true. And there are a lot of different things that have come out since that story broke about the attempted assassination. And we are certainly not short of opinions over what's going on in the Middle East. So we'll jump to that as well. Plus, a little more on the economic side with a financial guru, Saul Alvin, my pal, that's coming up from Norway at the bottom of the hour. But before we get to all of that, let's go to Sam in Montreal. He gets the first crack at this. He's our leadoff man this hour. Hey, Sam, what's going on? Hey, Sam, are you there? Ah, Sam, you lost your place in line. We're going to have to let you slide, you hockey puck. Let's go to Jay in Kentucky. Hey, Jay.
Morning, Kate.
Good morning.
I owe nobody a nail of score yet, but that offer stays void throughout the whole season. So.
Woohoo! Thank you.
But I wanted to talk a little bit, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Basically, the government forced these banks into making these loans to people that had no business owning a home. You know, if you were buying a $100,000 home and they said, well, we can get you $200,000, you know, and basically you had to have hardly any credit score. For the most part, they would just give the money to anybody that was applying at the time. That was all government backed. And now all these banks are being the bad guys, and they had these deals set up with the credit cards, say with Walmart and Home Depot and whatever, that they would get a certain percentage for card fees. I know with my business, my other business, not the trucking business, we have to pay a fee to the bank for every time someone uses a credit card.
Right.
And since the government stepped into the private industry, and banks are not... banks are there. They're privately owned and operated, and they're there to make money. And when the government steps in and says, hey, you guys can only make X amount of money because that's not going to lower the fees or it's not going to lower the prices to the public. It's just making it easier for the businesses. And so the banks losing all these millions of dollars So they're going to recoup their money by putting fees on the cards to the people that to the cardholders. And basically what it boils down to is now everybody's mad at the banks when they should be mad at the government, because the government's the one that put the restrictions on the banks.
Yes, originally. But here's the other problem, and you know this. The bank's too big to fail scenario, where the banks were forced to take the money, and they did. And now, of course, because as you mentioned, the bogus loans, they won't lend a cent to anyone, Jay. So
well,
now
they put tighter restrictions on them now.
Right, right. And so I guess essentially what you're saying is I agree with. If you wanted to drill it down, part of that is because of the government restrictions, which goes back to what we're always talking about, that with this idea of putting more restrictions on businesses or taxing businesses more or any of that, which people don't really get, there's a disconnect. That, of course, how are you going to make money? How's a business going to be able to hire more people? It comes back to the same thing, that you can't.
Well, one other thing is they're talking about the rich have to pay their fair share. Well, his buddy's head of one of the czars is the big guy over at GE, and they had about 400 million or 400 billion, I can't remember what they said, in profit, and they paid zero taxes.
And yeah, Jeffrey Immelt you're talking about, yeah.
Yes, I couldn't think of his name, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is he's donated, I'm sure, plenty of money to the Democratic Party. And how does GE get away without paying taxes? It's because of the new green job push and the electric batteries. That GE's right at the forefront of all that. And that's why they're getting a lot of this. But another thing, they're talking about the oil companies. Corporations do not pay taxes. Consumers pay corporate taxes. Okay, so the price is embedded in everything you buy. To compensate for the corporate tax. Now, if you start taxing the oil companies real high, then guess what? The consumer is going to end up with that cost, because it's going to be in the transportation of products and the gas that they buy for their cars.
Right.
I know my fuel bill for my diesel for the one truck is roughly $2,300 a week, and that's just to run 5 days.
Wow.
And that's being passed on to the consumer through the parts that I haul for the particular vehicles that they build.
Sure.
And that's built into the price, just like it is with the grocery stores. Cost of transportation. You tax the oil companies, they're the big bad guys. You tax them, they're just going to pass it on to consumers. Why do you think steak's $5, $6 a pound now instead of a couple dollars a pound like it used to be?
Right.
You know, it's all built in, and that's just I just wanted to explain that a little bit, because I've heard some of your listeners talking about. And one other quick thing, talking about about China, and
right.
We should put tariffs on them. China owns so much of our debt, there is no possible way that they're going to put tariffs on China.
Oh, no. Any president, whether it was Bush, which he was afraid to do anything with the Chinese, and now it's Obama, whoever it is, they know the carrot is always going to be dangled over our heads, and it is. So, yeah. I mean, yes, we are responsible for also part of their economy, so there's this yin and yang of it, if you will, but I agree, absolutely. And a lot of people don't think so. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hello again. I hope all is well. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128. We're your source for gold and silver. Not much has changed since we last spoke. The economy remains in the tank. Unemployment is a national disaster, and there's zero leadership in Washington. Experts tell us that the stock market is headed towards 7,000. The deficit will continue to climb. Still, gold is expected to go to 2,000 by the first quarter. That'd put silver back nearing 50 bucks. Frankly, Scarlett, there are no solid options available beyond precious metals. Please give me a call, John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, for an informative, no-pressure conversation. John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
This one high and deep to center field. Jackson going back at the wall. Goodbye. Michael Young with a breakout night. His fifth RBI of the evening. His first home run of the playoffs. It is 13-4 Texas. Bruce swings off a high fly ball. Deep left field. Young at the wall. Goodbye. The all-time leader, Nelly Cruz, has done it. It is 15-4, Texas.
Here's the pitch to end. Swing on, little pop-up, short right field. Going out is Young. He makes the catch. The game is over. After not going to the World Series in their first 38 years, the Rangers are going back for a second straight year. They celebrate behind the mound as the ballpark goes crazy. 15-5, the final score in Game 6 tonight.
Swing and a drive, left field. That one back there. That one way back towards the wall, and it's gone. A home run. David Freese over the left field wall, and his postseason heroics continue. A three-run blast, and it is 4-0 Cardinals.
Albert swings, strokes it to left field, and this is going to get down for a hit. Here's Descalzo scoring the 12th run of the night for the Cardinals. 12-6 Redbirds in the eighth inning.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and the Cardinals are National League champions and headed to the World Series. They mob a mop as the Redbirds win this one in six games. A pile on the mound as the Redbirds celebrate.
And so it goes. The World Series is set. You heard how Texas did it. 4-2 in that series with a 15-5 whooping of the Detroit Tigers. What a great story the Tigers were, and I felt badly for them. And the bats for the Rangers were just so hot. Starting off that game, Detroit had a 2-0 edge in the early innings, and then Texas just blew it wide open. Wow. Crazy way for them to get in. St. Louis wins their series 4-2 as well. You heard the highlights there of both teams, and they end up beating Milwaukee 12-6. That happened on Sunday night. So Wednesday is the start of the World Series. And who do you like? Who do you like in seven? Here's the thing. The baseball people will never say this. The baseball people who, you know, control the game, so to speak. But they always want the Yankees there. They always want the Yankees or the Boston Red Sox or a team like that. The Texas Rangers are a feel-good story, but, you know, St. Louis is, too. A lot of the players on this team, there are a million stories, actually. Maybe a million is an exaggeration, but there are a lot of really good stories on both of these squads. I think the Rangers win it because they get there for the second time. I think they're charmed, and I don't think you get there a second time and not win it. They ran into a hot pitching staff from the Giants, and I think it was almost like, geez, we're happy to be here. And I think this time around they're focused. I think they beat St. Louis. Although I like the Cardinals, I think it's going to be tough, and I don't think it's going to be an easy series. So this is what we like to call odds and ends. So I'm just going to put it on the line now, and I'm going to say the Rangers win this series, but I think they do it in seven. What do you think, Matt?
I think that's a solid take. I'm on board with the Rangers, too. I think they got a lot more offensive power than the Cardinals do, and Their pitching's all right, too, with Wilson and a couple other guys. So I think they'll be able to get it done.
Yeah, and I think the pitching, what happened in the last series is, with the pitching, they got bullpen help. The bullpen pulled them all the way through. It wasn't so much the starting pitching, but I think that bullpen will be enough to help to do whatever they need to do to get there, and the bats are so hot, like Matt said, up and down that lineup.
They don't have a lot of holes in their
no.
lineup. And if you look over the Cardinals, you can pick out a couple guys that don't hit that well. And so, I don't know. I think the Rangers just have it.
I do, too. I think the Rangers get it. Sad story here. We're going to mention it. Two-time Indy 500 winner Dan Weldon died Sunday. They called it unsurvivable injuries. Terrible when you go back and you look at this crash. It's all over the tube now. This is radio, but it was a terrible thing to see. Again, just 33, had two young kids, had a young family, and they decided to cancel the event at the end, after this happened in the very beginning of the event. A couple hours passed, and they said, we're just going to forget it. The drivers were emotional, upset, all that other stuff, so they decided to do a 5-lap salute in his honor. They played Amazing Grace. The drivers slowly went around the track. There were about a dozen cars that were in the wreck, and there were a couple of other drivers who were hurt, two actually had to stay overnight, but they're going to be fine, just more for observation than anything else. And, you know, that's part of the sport. They know that that's always a possibility at the speeds they're racing at, over 200 some miles an hour. And they've done a few things with improvements at the tracks, like, you know, they have the soft walls or the safer barriers, they call them, and it has foam, which is supposed to soften the effects of the impact, and other equipment that helps with the driver in his head and all that other sort of stuff. It was just the way he hit the impact. It was the wild angle where he hit it. And when you're going 220 some miles an hour, they just, unfortunately, it was a bad hit. It was the way he took that on when he came around. So Dan Weldon, just 33 years old, part of the sport. They know that. And all of them will say that when you talk to them. I had a chance to talk to him, and we didn't talk about crashing. We actually talked about safety things and talked about his car and where he hoped to end up. And, you know, at the time, I interviewed him before the Indy wins, and that was one of his goals. He won it twice, and he was a well-liked guy, I think, in racing circles. We move on to some other odds and ends, and while all that sadly was happening in Las Vegas at the Vegas Track. In Washington, D.C., there was the official dedication of the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, and the president was there, and the president compared civil rights to the Occupy movement going on across the country and talked about, you know, some of the economic injustices that were happening. Whether or not that falls on deaf ears or people make that leap and that comparison, you know, I don't know. Civil rights and the Occupy movement, I see some big differences between the two. But the Occupy movement, speaking of the Occupy movement, it's hard to quantify what kind of an impact the groups are having. Mostly what you're seeing in big cities, you're seeing more people, of course, because you have more people involved. And what you see is we're the 99 percenters and signs that say bosses and banks and endless wars, it needs to stop. And, you know, will politicians start paying attention more to we the people instead of the bottom line? I saw a sign that said that. So what is the end game here? You know, what's the end game? This movement is almost 4 weeks old. And we're a group of people that over the weekend somebody told me our attention span is 15 seconds. That if you're in sales, some of you are in sales, or probably all of us are in sales in some sense, you have 15 seconds to make the close. So how much attention are Americans paying to the movement? And what is the end game of this? What ultimately is going to happen here? What's the agenda? How are they pushing this forward? How are they mobilizing the public, I guess, in other words? So, you know, polls certainly show that corporate greed has big support, much more support than you would think. That people, you know, people that are asked about that, of course, they're 99% say we hate corporate greed or whatever. But the Occupied protests are spreading in towns all over the flyover states in the Midwest, Idaho, and, you know, pick a place, any place, Wyoming. Now they say you're starting to see soccer moms and 18 and 19-year-olds that are showing up. So is the story a good story that stays around that leads to any kind of a change? I guess that's the question. And over the weekend, hundreds of people were arrested. Occupy Chicago, people were told to leave. They didn't, so they were arrested. Some of the groups have raised money in New York. They say they've raised over $300,000. A group in Chicago says they raised over $150,000. Wow. Speaking of money, we're going to talk about it next with Saul Album here on ATN.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
A brother won't with me. No one will be here. I just can't watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Check in with my pal, Saul Albin, the financial guru of America. Tonight he's in Oslo, Norway. He joins us now. Hey, Saul, how are you coming out of our virtual green room? How are you doing?
Very good. Your makeup artist did a good job.
Yeah, because that makeup's important, especially when everyone can see you.
But they say I have a face for radio.
Oh, that's not true. You don't have a face for radio. You're a handsome man.
Oh, thanks. You know, Brad Pitt, sometimes they say Brad Pitt does my, my stand-in, so I'll take that.
Hey, speaking of that, you sent me a note, and I love this, because folks, think about this. You know, Saul's traveled all over the place, but he's an American guy, and now he's living in Norway. So what does he miss? Obviously, the American TNA, because one of the first things he sends in his note is, Charlie's Angels canceled?
I better be careful here. Charlie's Angels canceled. I mean, I just found out Desperate Housewives are canceled. I mean, your world is going to come to an end. The financial crisis means nothing.
That's right. It's all about what's on the tube. And see, here now, especially, as you know, because it wasn't too long ago that you were living in the States, it's all about reality TV. Reality TV, it goes along with the economy. It's cheap to produce. So cheap, in fact, that the one show they have called The X Factor, Simon Cowell, who has so much money, he could, he'll never be done counting it. He could count it for the rest of his life. So he just opens up his giant house to the production crew. They just come in and now the people can just sing at their houses. So, wow, you are saving tons of money. So all these other shows don't stand a chance because reality is what rocks the world now. And it's cheap to make it. It's cheap. There's a theme here. So there's a big savings to any of these networks when they have these reality shows on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like AmericaTonight.net. Kate, I think you're doing the same thing as Simon Cowell. You know, billionaires opening up their home, you know, letting us see how they're still letting this 99% see how you 1% go about things.
All right, speaking of that, I got to ask you this right at the top because I just got a note from a guy named Tom Matthews who said this. And so let's break this down. This is a perfect way to start this. Because it was Sunday in the States earlier, of course, means now we're into Monday, but it means that all the politicians and the people who want to be president, people who want to run for office or are in office, talk all over the tube in the morning. So here's what Tom said. He said, the business community loves to harp about how they send jobs overseas due to corporate taxes. Poppycock. The workers in China earn $7 a day. No one can compete with free, or in this case, practically free. Corporate America will take the tax cuts and still go overseas, just as they have done for the last 10 years, with the lowest taxes in our lifetimes. By the way, does anyone think it would be fair for the person who earns $1 million and spends $250,000 of it, that they should be taxed 9% on the income plus 9% on the $250,000 they spend for a total of 11.25% on the $1 million income all the time while the person that cleans his or her office pays 9% on everything they earn, assuming the live paycheck to pay, they live paycheck to paycheck and spend everything, 11.25 versus 9. How about the person who is unemployed and borrows $10,000 from dear old dad and mom? How do we justify 9% sales tax on the unemployed? We still have an economy that is 70% consumer based. The 9% tax would kill this. Who wants to buy a new car or a house and pay 9% once we start exempting stuff? It unravels. And of course, Tom is referring to, on that part of it, he's referring to the 999 that Herman Cain, who wants to be president, has been touting and has been getting a lot of play for.
You know, Tom is right and wrong at the same time. You know, U.S. manufacturing is still the number one in the world. So, like, we're still the number one manufacturing company. We just don't make low-quality goods like pins and needles, okay? So it makes sense to pay a Chinese person to sit there with a file and, like, you know, make needles. But if you want to make airplane parts, if you want to make high-tech titanium and carbon alloys and mold them, the American and German workers are going to be the best in the world. You know, you can make fun of our union workers all you want for their break rooms and all this stuff, but when it comes down to it, the American worker is the most productive in the world, is the most highly educated, is the hardest, and produces the most hour by hour. So to address his point, what it comes down to is just total costs of the workforce. Taxes just add on top to the wages. So if it's more efficient to hire Chinese workers with the taxes, then yeah, they're still going to hire Chinese. Problem is, hiring Chinese workers is now getting too expensive. So we're actually moving to Thailand and Cambodia and all these other places. And the Chinese people are upset because they're losing jobs. I think it's very ironic. You know, they're facing riots because the Chinese people that we think are stealing our jobs, now they're outsourcing, of course, to even the poorer countries. You know, uplifting the poorest of the poor to, like, you know, they can actually afford bread and stuff. So, as far as, you know, how we tax people versus the 999, that's exactly what it does. It broadens the tax base. What Tom is also failing to mention is the bottom 50% don't pay federal income tax. I mean, how can you be considered a part of society and actually care about the direction of the company when you have no vested interest in it other than receiving handouts? So, I mean, he makes a point, and then he'll say, well, they're the poorest, so they shouldn't have to pay taxes. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think a part of being in a republic means that shared sacrifice and you engage, but you also have to listen to them. So I'm going back and forth with this nuanced argument, right? Okay, here's the bottom line. the bottom line, it doesn't matter how we tax, okay? You can tax 999, 1809, you know, 0189, anything. It's the spending that matters. I don't care. You want a flat tax, you want VAT, I don't care, okay? The problem is the spending. And until we get spending under control, until it's like, Kate, if your listeners out there were spending $100,000, and every year of it, you're borrowing $40,000. You know,
right.
things that can't go on forever don't. And
right,
eventually, that's going to stop. So
I agree with you. Hey, speaking of that, let's dovetail into this, because I was talking about this earlier on the show. People are trying to make the comparisons with this Occupy movement that, oh my gosh, we're just like Europe. It's going to turn into riots, and then we're going to have martial law because it's going to be explosions in the streets. It's going to be just like Europe and the whole bailout thing that's happening. What's going on in Greece? What do you think is going to happen there? Europe's going to bail them out.
Yeah, Europe's going to bail them out. You know, this is my theme, is that we're going to talk, if we have time today, is just, you know,
sure,
invest where the rich people invest, because the rich people are going to get bailed out. You know, all these Occupy Wall Street people, they're, you know, they want to elect a philosopher king, if anyone's ever read The Republic by Plato. I mean, just read that book, and it's all about, you know, how the smartest people should rule us and how society should be arranged, among other great things. But basically is, you know, the politician that comes as, I'm different, I can be trusted with the economy, you know, I'm wise, I'm smarter, and that's basically what the people want, which is, you know, they're asking for, you know, a fascist dictator. I mean, the fascist dictator to solve these problems. You know, let's be honest.
I don't want that.
I mean, right? You're enlightened. You're smart. So I mean, Rome is burning. Or, this all over the world. It's because the state conspires with wealthy people. When they make dumb investment decisions, they get bailed out. When they buy bonds from municipals, okay, you know, like when they buy bonds from California, okay,
right,
it doesn't matter. They're going to get paid back. We're going to pay for it. And when the banks do leverage up 100-to-1 and blow up, which is the nature of banks, okay, which it will blow, okay, if banks can blow up, they will. So, As people invest in these banks, they'll get bailed out. The executives will get bailed out. Freddie Mac will get bailed out. Freddie Mae will get bailed out. God forbid, some private sector guy, you know, loses his job. Well, you know, you hear some unemployment benefits. You know, don't riot in the streets. So, the bottom line is that the larger the state grows, the more corrupt it'll be. It becomes more profitable to massage the state to get better tax treatment, better regulation treatment. You know, I mean, how much money is invested in lobbyists? What was the name of the company that the Obama administration?
Solyndra.
Yeah, we're going to become a Solyndra economy. I mean, where it becomes better to how we're going to impress, you know, the powers that be than serve your customers. And that's where are we going to end up in riots? Yes, but not for a while. It's not this crisis that I'm worried about. It's the next one. Europe's going to print, a trillion euros and save the day. Okay. That's what's going to happen. But, you know, people are going to suffer, and it's then the next one. It's going to be 5 years from now. It's going to be the big one, in my opinion.
Ooh, 5 years from now. So you're predicting, you sound like that radio, the guy that got on radio that said in October is doomsday. So doomsday is maybe 3 to 5 years from now.
Yes. I've consulted with my chicken bones. It's fitting right in. I mean, what's the, under stress, what's the first thing to go? It's the minorities. The 99 versus 1%.
Right.
Thing you do is you target minorities. You know, I'm just lucky.
Right.
You know, maybe it's, you know, instead of the blacks this time, it's the Jews in Wall Street, you know.
Oh, you're on the wrong end of that. All right, so, Saul, hang on. We're going to come back to you next and talk about some other things here on American Night. Stay with us.
This is Alex Jones with 5 good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning. E-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Continuing our conversation with financial guru Saul Albaum here on America Tonight. And Saul, you know, we started to talk about, well, obviously we're talking about the monetary situation, and you were making predictions about, you don't think that you're worried about the next big one. What are we going to look like in 5 years? So what, and I agree with you, I think we have to cut the crap and we have to get back in the black in Washington. They have to cut spending. They have to turn the economy around, and the way to turning the economy around, you can't spend like a drunken sailor who's been out to sea for 2 years and continue to think that that's going to work, and you're going to tax your way out of that, and not you're not going to slice things off. There's no choice but to do that. I think that has to be one of the answers. It just has to be. Why is that so difficult to pound that home? Because they're protective of government jobs?
You know, what was his name? Michael Lewis. That's right. He had a fantastic piece in Vanity Fair about 2 weeks ago about California. And it was so funny because he chronicled Arnold Schwarzenegger and what he tried to do to turn the state around. It basically, all his budget initiatives failed back in 2006. He had a couple about three budget initiatives, restrict teacher pay, I'm sorry, just off the top of my head, I don't remember, but it was a great article. Just Google Michael Lewis, Vanity Fair, California, and you can find a great read, fantastic writer.
I read that article. He's the guy who wrote Moneyball, and he's very good talking about anything financial. CNBC always has him on, and he made some very solid points, and part of that was that whole spending thing.
Yeah, is that basically the voters want stuff for free. They want stuff and they don't want to pay for it. And I mean, Stalin said people get the government that they deserve. So I mean, that's exactly what that happens. Is that 55% of the people want the stuff and they want the 45% of other people to pay for it or something like that. And something simple. I mean. So they just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Your whole life, you have been a student of economics in a sense, because of what you've done, the investment thing, etc. So, in your opinion, Saul, what if you had the influence? If you were somebody that the president called on to throw in your 2 cents, what would you say right now we have to do to avoid this terrible crash?
You got to bring your troops home. The first thing we have to do is stop spending $1.5 trillion on. On quote unquote defense, which is really offense. North Korea has no navy. Iran has no navy. We are subsidizing Europe with our 100,000 troops in Europe. We have to bring everybody home, and we're spending $1.5 trillion there on wars and everything like that. You know, we have to let the other Western powers, democracies and republics, stand up for themselves. Israel has to do its own fighting, and we can come save the day as we need it, but that's enough. I mean, we're bankrupt. Europe, you got to stand on your own, and pull it back. That'll save us $1 trillion. That will start us going. From there, we're going to have to look at limiting means testing all of our federal benefits, and then something I'm not sure about how to do is go around with regulations. I'm not sure about that. And then from there, after things are balanced and start paying off, then we can start looking at lowering taxes. It's really the regulatory and a regulatory environment, but that's something I can't answer to yet. I haven't done enough research, but the first thing I would do is bring yourself.
I agree with you. I say that all the time, and I'm starting to get some flack for it, but I totally agree with you. That's the Ron Paul method. I mean, that's the one thing that he said. He said, bring the troops home. We can't do this any longer. We can't be in places where they can stand up for themselves anyway. Why are we doing this? Hey, we got a note from Jeremy in Alaska who says, I know lots of people are unhappy with the protests, but what else do people expect when millions of people are losing their jobs, homes, and livelihoods? To sit home and be dumbed down, complacent? I mean, sooner or later, something's got to give.
Oh, I agree with him. I mean, they're reflecting the anger on the street. And this is only going to continue. This is only going to continue. And my fear is that they're going to ask for more state power. I mean, financial regulation has completely failed globally.
Yes.
Since the Great Depression, or since the Federal Reserve was enacted in all these different places, since we've moved off the gold standard, since we started accepting fiat currency, since the Securities Act of 1932, since the Securities Act of 1933, Securities Act of 1940, Glass-Steagall, all this garbage, it has all completely failed. Any of you progressives out there has to realize is that the financial industry has to be the Wild West. We have thought because we can regulate it, we can tame the financial industry, then we can depend on it. And guess what? You can't. It is
it's better to let it be the Wild West.
It's better to be the Wild West. Caveat emptor. You know what? The way banks are supposed to function is this is not natural. You wonder why we keep getting bubbles and blow-ups, and it's because banks lend out at 2% blow, and it pours so much money into real estate, the prices go up, and then and then eventually will collapse. It can't be. I mean, you can't have banks function this way. It will continue until we move. I'm sounding like Keynes. Maynard Keynes said, people that talk about the gold standard are like mongoloids. We're not the mongoloids. I'm not a mongoloid. Okay, I read history. Okay, I read Roman history. I study philosophy from Aristotle to Plato to Nietzsche to Camus. I mean, everything in between. I read the markets. I prepared 6.5 hours last night, to go on the show. Okay, doing research. I'm doing the research on the earnings of our companies. Okay, the S&P 500. Okay, things suck out there for all your viewers. Okay, I'm sorry, your listeners, right? Okay,
right.
Why is it that revenues are up for the Fortune 500 companies? Okay, used to be Fortune 500, S&P 500 companies.
Right.
Profits are the highest they've ever been on record, and they're not employed.
Yeah,
why
is
that? It's because it's inflation. Okay, do you think that it's all just creating massive distortions in the economy? These guys don't know that they're not making a profit because things are inflating so fast. Okay, or inflating in different areas.
Right.
Okay, the S&P 500, represents 75% of the total value of the stock market. Okay, that's the S&P 500. Okay.
Right.
Record profits. And they're not getting hired. Is it really profits? We don't know. Because all this government spending, and all this inflation, we don't know. Why? And you can't say, maybe because now you're going to say, they're cutting people, okay? And they're reducing all their costs. That's why their profits are so up.
Sure.
Well, you know what? Their revenues are up 10% since last year. Revenues are up. Profits are up. It's crazy.
So it doesn't make sense, yeah. It doesn't make sense. No, you're absolutely right. Hey, we got one more. Richard sent the 2011 cost of Iraq and Afghanistan is expected to be $159 billion. The U.S. GDP is about 100 times that, so 1% is a lot to spend, but it's not going to bankrupt the U.S.
Right. And then, right. But then how many children can you feed with that? You could feed every child in this country for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, you got to look at it as an economist look at it, cold and heartless, which is going to do – it's like I'm going to be cold and heartless about how our money could best serve the needy and poor. That's how I'm going to be heartless.
And right, and it's to cut that. It's right. It's to cut – bring the troops back because we're spending too much money.
All right. I mean, okay, so we do need to talk about solutions, though, because I just don't want to be doom and gloom.
Okay.
So I'll let you go off.
All right, quickly. We've got 2 minutes. Go for it. Give me a quick solution.
Okay, solutions for where to place capital, is exactly where the wealthy are doing it. So you're going to get bailed out with them, Class A buildings, if you can get into those, you got to look for REITs that are non-leveraged. What that means is you don't want to get into investments where you're taking loans against a lot of financial companies borrow money and then go buy out real estate. You want to stay away from that. Very low leverage or none at all. Class A companies, Class A buildings, you want to place capital in. Okay, oil and gas partnership, A paper, AAA paper. Stay away from California's.
AAA paper, I love it. Great advice, Saul Albin. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much. Some great nuggets there, my friend. You take care.
Thanks, Kate, as always.
All right. You heard what he said. Man. Here's what I like, the best thing that Saul said. He agrees with me. He agrees with me that I know it infuriates some people, but we have to pull the troops out, especially if places like Germany, where we have such an overlap. Why do we have so many troops there? How much money could we save? Think about it.